I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Jeff Hurst, the Trailer Brooklyn and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast. Bit late, better late than never, as they say. Season 7, up to episode 25, and with me, not in the studio tonight, is John in his loft, I would imagine. Good evening, John.
I'm in my loft, and good evening, Sean. How are you?
And I am fine, thank you.
Good, how's life after your party and your 50 years of age?
Yeah, it was good. I put a picture of us all on the Facebook group. I know you don't do that because you're not on Facebook, but someone said, was it your 40th or 50th? So there you go. I could get away for 40 there, John.
Yeah, that's the dark light in it.
And only around the waist.
Oh. And the dulcet tones of the global TV star, who may have been cut because we've heard nothing about the airing of his interview, is Shedman. In his shed. Good evening, Nigel.
Good evening, Sean.
Thank you. All right, I'll do it. Where are you?
I'm in my shed.
Hang on, delayed action.
Bring back
well,
John.
I wasn't ready.
Dear. You teed it up. How could you not be ready?
All right. Where are you, Nigel?
I'm in my shed.
Don't worry, that will come out in the editing.
We'll cut that.
Yeah. No George tonight. Thank you to Southwestern Trains for depriving us of George yet again. I think we should put in a compensation. You know you can make compensations for late trains. I wonder if you can actually make a compensation against missing a podcast.
Yeah, we should have a go, shouldn't we?
Definitely.
Yeah, because all the advertising revenue, I mean, it's so much we'd be missing out on, isn't it?
Well, the amount of times we mentioned Southwestern Trains, I mean,
yeah. We should be sponsored by Southwestern Trains, shouldn't we? Yeah. Good. So we had a game of football at the FA Cup, and we all know how important the FA Cup is to the board and everybody else. So we gave a really good go at it, and we lost 2-0. What happened there then, John?
What happened there?
Did you watch it first?
I watched it from about 15 minutes in. 15, 20 minutes in, yeah, I did watch it. So I had it on the radio, actually, and then I managed to do what I was doing and got a stream up. So, yeah, I did see it. We weren't very good, Sean.
We weren't.
So that's what happened.
Let's start with a selection. Is there any better team he could have chose? He says. I chose who was available. I didn't really have a choice.
All of that, I really don't know because some of the injuries that we had, some of the players that weren't available, were they not available or were they, you know, did they have a sore back that day or, you know, you really don't know.
Well, there's already a debate, isn't there, with Diafro Seco, which we'll come to later, who is calling out David Gold as saying he was injured. Or unavailable to play and sort of say he was available to play. But more on that later. We won't spoil the transfer section. Obviously, we got a sending off. deserved. I'm not going to even ask you, John. And they scored two goals. I mean, can you say anything in West Ham's defence?
We had a lot of defenders, so defensively we didn't. Joe Hart, I think, could have had a better effort of getting his hand to that ball, though it was a good header. I don't think it was a penalty, but that said and done. I think we were actually on record as had no shots on target, didn't we?
We have, and just do the stat attack when you mention that. Possession, Wigan had 52%, we had 48%, which is the same possession as we played the Cherries. But this time, West Ham had 5 shots, 0 on target. I'm going to say that again. 5 shots, 0 on target, while the Lactics had 9 shots, 4 on target. So stats say worthy winners, and another game where we've got not a single shot on target.
Yeah, it's just... It just looked to me like, obviously, it was a bit of a sort of thrown together team. I'm disappointed for the youngsters because we've had a lot of talk about some of these players and they've had a couple of opportunities now to claim, sort of stake a claim. And I don't think anyone really has, you know, none of them really have come out and sort of warranted a place on even on the bench in future, I would say.
Yeah. How about Hernandez? Does he look bothered?
Hernandez, it's so awkward with Hernandez. I mean, what sort of service did he get? But no, he didn't look greatly bothered. But what sort of service did he get? It's the whole thing is sort of perpetual, isn't it? If you haven't got someone who's giving him the ball, he's coming back trying to win the ball. It's not his game, is it? But no, he doesn't look bothered. It was awful. It was just awful. So. But, Nigel, you know, it's only the cup, isn't it? You know, who cares? You know, who cares?
Nigel, did they take it seriously?
No, not in my opinion. They didn't.
Was it part of a master plan to get out? Or do you reckon that thought they could?
Look, if you look at David Moyes' record in the cup games, Arsenal put out a shocking team with no effort. No effort at all in the cup whatsoever. Against Arsenal, and Arsenal didn't want to win that game, so we lost that quarter final. We move on to Shrewsbury, the second best team in League One when we played them. Abysmal performance away at Shrewsbury, and then we were lucky to get the late goal at home, and then we're up against the best team in League One. You can see it looked like they're going to win that league at a canter the way they play football, and they played good football. Now, when you put in players like Cullen, Burke, Martinez, they've all played on loan at that level. So you would like to see something from them. Unfortunately, I'm not going to dig them out, but that they showed that perhaps that is maybe their level and why they haven't really broke into the first team. But they weren't backed up by what senior players were picked. The one thing that grates me is that you say he's on 10 grand a week, David Moyes, and his wages are made up by keeping us in the Premier League.
Yeah, big bonus, right. Yeah.
So therefore, for him to get his payday, he's not going to take the cup seriously. He don't want to be in the cup.
No, good point.
He's not going to be too downhearted about being knocked out. The problem is 5,000 fans that made that journey that thought actually a good cup run builds confidence. A good cup run.
Well, 4,999. Yeah. I didn't use my ticket because I forgot it was my party then.
Well,
and I bought a child ticket by mistake.
Yeah. So there was a few empty seats in the thing, but people, you know, the fans believe in the cup. You know, it's all right saying David Moyes said before the game on Friday, about the Wigan fans would rather have stayed in the Premier League. Yeah, when you ask Wigan fans, they all go, no, actually, we're glad we can say we won the FA Cup in 2013 rather than finish 17th in the Premier League. So,
we're of a generation, Nigel. I think we believe that, but there is a younger generation behind us. Who don't believe that. It's Premier League and be all. That's the thing.
But that's because they've never seen West Ham win a cup, where we have.
No. But that's that's the thing, isn't it? You know, we don't want to just be a Premier League mate weight all the time. We know we're not going to win the league. We want to have a go at a cup.
But by the way, the draw's just been made for the FA Cup. Do you know who Wigan have drawn?
I've not stopped looking.
Manchester City.
Oh, well, we'd have been out anyway then.
Exactly.
Just our luck. Oh, dear. But
Millwall Tottenham is possible, though, in the draw. That would be interesting. Anyway, they played very... To be fair to... I nearly said Millwall. Who did we play? Wigan. Remind me. Wigan. they played a very physical game.
Well, no, I don't think they did. They played football. If you watched, they didn't oof the ball up. They outplayed us. That's the thing. That's embarrassing. I know they're a League One side and they're playing with confidence. They're top of the table and they're on the best run apart from the two Man United, the Manchester teams, Man City, Man United. So they're the third form team across all leagues in the country. But we've still got to do better to only have those block shots at the end of the first half, where we had that scramble and Reece Oxford put it wide and over, as our only meaningful attack in a game like that, that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing. It really is. Well, that's what it is.
Let's talk about two big incidents, Nigel. The first one is a sending off.
Yeah.
Did Arthur deserve a six-week match ban? Was he really spitting towards the player, or was he just spitting?
No, he spat at the player. The only saving grace is he didn't spit in his face. But apart from that,
but yeah, here's a question games, someone
he's
said.
He's right for that. Yeah, I do. Yeah,
really?
I do.
So spitting in the general direction of player is the same as punching a player in the face, because it's the same ban. If you punch
a player, there's a precedent set. It's been
I
set.
Know, I just think it's wrong, though. I'm not even sure, and Moyes said this on his interview today, he's spitting. He says the referee can't see it. He's only reacted to the opposition player. And
what was his name? It was
Power.
Nick Power. He's spitting in the general direction. I've seen the video replay. I just think it's a bit harsh.
But that's what it is.
And what Moyes said today, he said it's not mandatory.
The thing about spitting is... You don't know. Spitting can pass on TB, yeah? I've never known anyone catch TB from a punch. There's the health side.
But footballers spit all the time.
Not on each other. I'm sorry. That is absolute fish.
You can't put anything against that, as it is what it is. Right. He spat at him. It's Nick Powell, isn't it, his name?
And yeah.
He spat him. He was probably the best player on the pitch, to be fair, as well. And like, it was his frustration. He spat at him. He didn't get in his face. You're right. It got in. But they know, players know, if you spit at another player, you're going to get a six-game ban. They know that.
Oh, no. Well, Moy said no today. He said it's not mandatory. Actually, it can be anywhere between 3 and 6. And he said in his interview, before it read out, he said, I'm thinking you didn't spit in his direction. I think 3 would be, but if we have 6,
I'm sorry. They're in a way,
I'm not going to justify it. But I understand what everybody's come out to say is Masuaku is such a nice guy. It's completely out of character. And throwing the book at him with 6-game ban seems a bit harsh in my view. I'll be honest with you.
I'll tell you what. Once Steve Flats,
what
right,
Billy Bonds
Steve
do?
Flats, he'd have had a Lucozade bottle wrapped round his head, because that's what my mate done to a bloke who spat at him. He picked up a Lucozade bottle and clumped him.
Right.
So in a way, Masuaku was lucky not to get a clump, wasn't he?
All right. Next question: did it change the game? In other words, and obviously did change the game, but could West Ham have won if Masuaku had stayed on the pitch? In your honest opinion, to both of you, first to Nigel.
I don't think we'd have won.
John?
I don't know. I mean, we were starting to actually have a bit more impetus about us when that incident happened. So, I mean, did you watch it, Sean?
No, I only watched the highlights.
I watched the whole game.
When we come out after the second half, we had a bit more about us, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
You know, so you know,
that did
who
knock
knows
the wind out
of
us, I must admit, but that did knock the wind out of the team.
So it was after that, it was done and dusted, yeah. So I wouldn't say we might have nicked a draw, but
that's what I think would have happened. I thought we would have nicked a draw.
And the penalty a penalty?
No.
Not in a million years.
No.
Yeah. So they got lucky on that. And a big loss. We're going to talk about injuries later, but Pedro Obiang being stretchered off. Was he playing, and again, I didn't only seen the highlights, was he playing a good enough game to warrant that changed, that knocked us out of everything as well?
None of them were. None of the, like you say, the established players were given anything. It was just dreadful all round.
I thought Obiang bottled the tackle. I said it at the time on Twitter. I thought Obiang bottled the tackle. The geezer went in with the ball. Obiang could have gone in with the ball and got the ball, and he didn't. He sort of pulled his leg out, planted his leg down, let the player take the ball, and the follow-through clouted him. I think if Obiang had gone in for the tackle 50-50, I don't think he'd have been as hurt as he was. And I think that sums it up for me.
Well, it looks like he's out for the rest of the season, but we'll do a little bit more of that later. I don't think there's anything to say. We lost, we're out of the cup for another year.
I think some people have overreacted on the Masuaku stuff. I heard, listening to the radio on the way in, that Moose bloke was saying he should never play for West Ham again and all that. I think, some people are, he's done something that is stupid and horrible. Take your ban and crack on.
Apparently, yeah, Billy Bonds got sent off in 1970 for spitting against Hull, spat at a Hull player. He'd only been at the club
a
year. So.
I saw that on Twitter as well. Yeah, that had happened.
I looked it up and that's what the report said.
You're good enough for Billy Bonds.
Arthur gets, he earns about 25 grand a week, so he's going to get a 2-week maximum fine, which is 50 grand. Actually, Graham Howlett from KUMB made a really good suggestion of the club should donate the money to the 3-year-old who's got the rare form of cancer and who's trying to raise £200,000 because she's about 50,000 off her target. You think the club would do that, Nigel?
There's two questions there. Do I think they should? Yes. Will they? What do they do with club fine money? How do we know?
When the club fines
a player, where does the money go that they save?
Well, I bet it just goes back in to, but it was money that they budgeted to spend, and therefore it's money they weren't expecting. They've got 50 grand. Why not donate it?
So therefore... we know the club ain't going to do it because they're too dim to understand about goodwill. And it would, I don't know, good PR. But that's the worst thing about it, because they're in such a mess now that if they did that, cynical people like me are going, you've only done it because you're in a mess, try to build bridges. But to be fair, I think they should do it because of the cause, because of what it can do, whether hopefully it'd make a difference.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on, because after the game, we had a slight supporters meeting in the car park. Now, none of us were there, so we can't be blamed. Each time I hear this story, that every time I hear it, it gets a little bit more exaggerated, Almost it was a riot. Started off with they had a few words and then Sullivan walked off. And now it's like, the more I hear it from Jim White and everything, he was surrounded by an angry mob. I'm not sure that's true. So let's start with you, Nigel. What's your take on what was reported that happened in the car park with Sullivan Gold afterwards?
I can't believe no one filmed it. I mean, kids today, their phones are glued in their hand at a cock handle with the call button going, filming everything, and not one of them thought to record it. And then we could all see what happened.
I'm just going to do a little recap if people haven't heard. So allegedly, Sullivan said, it's almost impossible to sign anyone. This was reported by a number of people on Twitter. He then said that he'd paid a £2 million fee for Mario with £101,000 a week until June, which adds another £2 million, £4 million in total. He said that allegedly he asked someone who would they sign, and he said John Joe Shelvin. He said he's useless.
He said he was shit.
All right. Well, if you haven't got a camera, people said it different way. And finally, it was reported he then walked off and sat in his car while leaving David Gold to face the music with the supporters there. One person said he said he didn't have the money or didn't have the funds. And for some reason, Sullivan seemed to pick up on this and then released an official statement on the website, which just seems crazy. John, you made me aware of some of this, didn't you, on our WhatsApp group. What's your take on this bizarre latest episode of the Sullivan and Gold show?
Well, they just blunder from one catastrophe to the other, don't they? We were talking about your do, weren't we? There was some of it flying about what had happened, but it was just a few people that when there'd been a conversation and he'd said that, you know, it's near enough impossible to sign anyone. And that seemed to be how the conversation was, but it slowly changed the tone today, didn't it? Sky were saying that they'd been.
What's his name?
Carvey.
Well, we all know. Look, everybody knows where he gets his information, and to come out and said what he said was misguided on him.
That's what they're doing. They're pulling in the. That's what they did, like with you lot, when we got David Moyes. They pull you all in, and you all do what they tell you.
We're independent, John. I don't know what you're talking about, us lot. What do you mean, us lot?
You lot, Clara and Hugh and the other
you buggers.
Like, SDCs and all these. All you boys who are in the sort of like hands and pockets of the board.
Oh,
Jim White, today, he was like, but it's his job, isn't it? He's fishing. He's trying to get a reaction, and he certainly got a reaction. I don't know if you've listened to it. There's actually sections of the whole show flying about on Twitter now.
Is there?
Listen to it, yeah. But
this is what Jim White said on Twitter. I haven't heard the show yet. I've heard from a very reliable source, Sullivan, that West Ham owners, Sullivan and Gold, were surrounded and jostled by fans at Wigan who demanded they make more signings. Gold is 81 and Sullivan is 68. ! Is that sort of behaviour acceptable? I don't think so.
Yeah, but he was saying stuff like they deserve more respect. They have personally put in £70 million each into the club. They are trying their best for the club. And he was doing all that, and he just got a reaction. And there was one bloke on there who must have been a friend of Sullivan or someone. Yeah. Some old guy who went on and said, you know, they are great. They saved us, the old saved us line. But most of them were in there saying, look, we were there. There wasn't that many people. There was no jostling. It was a civilised conversation.
Mm.
And there's calls for Wigan to produce the video, aren't there, from the car park and stuff like that out there.
So what Kavanagh said from Sky, he said, West Ham owners Sullivan and Gold confronted by angry fans at Wigan. Fans wanted more signings. Senior figures understand frustration, but unacceptable for owners to be treated in this way. West Ham, the seventh biggest wage bill in the league and close to their wage cap limit. Owners doing all they can. I mean, most people say that sounds like it was written by Sullivan himself. I mean, it's funny, the FFP coming out again.
Yeah, they love that one. But
I can tell you one thing. We are not close to our wage cap. The whole way that FFP has been restructured now in the new deal, and because we moved to the new stadium, we really don't have to worry about that. That's one thing I can dispel.
Yeah, I was going to say, that cannot be a case anymore. When we pay barely nothing for a stadium and everything we come in is a profit, or can be shown as a profit, up against FFP, can't it? So we shouldn't have to worry about that anymore. What they've done is they pay big wages for average players, and then don't play them, and then they end up with a wage bill with like Andy Carroll sat on the bench. Are you on big money? All these players that they've average players, big money. That's why we've got the seventh highest wage bill. They just can't run a football club, and for them then to go on, and it was they had to reiterate when the fans came on and started saying that wasn't the case, that wasn't how it happened. They then came on, their producer come on, look, we've just spoken to Sullivan's secretary and he's he's clear that he felt threatened and was jostled or whatever in the car park. So that again now is saying all these people are liars. The West Ham fans, you know, again, they've done it. They've blown a grenade up.
Well, they should not. They really shouldn't have commented and keep their mouths shut. David Gold said, by the way, after it, I don't think you can criticise DS for getting in the car, given what happened to him after we lost 4-0 away to West Bromwich Albion a couple of years ago. And that was about Bazcock saying, you know, at least David Gold stayed around.
But you can't. You can't blame him for. But you, why haven't they? Why do they not go there with a couple of guards with them and just get themselves ushered to the?
Well, the picture I saw did have two security guards in like high vis dress.
Yeah, so they look like stewards.
I don't think. Well, it could be, but they did seem to have some security, as you say. I'm surprised they had no. Security or cameras rather, or any, no one thought to whip out their camera and film it. Last word on this from Nigel, the bald lover.
Do you know what? I just wish these people were around 5-6 years ago behaving like that. Perhaps the club wouldn't be in the mess we're in now. That's what I wish. It's, I don't, I,
what are you saying?
Yeah, it's exactly too late. What I'm saying. I don't want to get into the "I told you so," because there's no benefit in sitting there and saying that. To be fair, there's nothing. But I will point out to people, the club is in this mess, and because of what they've brought it upon themselves, because of everything goes back to the lies and everything, and that's why people feel like people had a choice to believe or not believe, and to have all this outrage now. Just seems, I don't know. I don't get the outrage.
I mean, what is the outrage about?
But that's the big part of it, isn't it? That's the big part of the outrage, because the likes of, say, like you and me, Nigel, we never wanted to go. We never believed in it. We never believed the word they said. But a large proportion of people bought into it and believed it. And now they see that what they believed in isn't right. It wasn't the truth. They've been lied to. They've been,
and that's why the owners have to suck it up. I'm afraid, and that's why. That's where I've got no sympathy for them, because they made me look like an idiot 5-6 years ago. I got called everything from a "See you next Tuesday" to a Tottenham fan. Yeah, and now I get more people saying, "Oh, do you know what? He weren't the idiot. Actually, he knew what he was talking about." And me and John were both the same, and there was other people that were like, "No, this ain't right, this is wrong."
But hang on, people like you used to laugh at us and whatever. Let's not make this about the stadium, because it ain't about
the thing.
That's where the feeling comes from.
This is, it all leads back to
people invested one way or the other. And now the people that invested into it believed all the words they said, went along with the stadium move, went along with all this next level stuff and all that, now realise that they've actually had the wool pulled over their eyes and they've been taking the piss out of.
I'm not sure. I just think people were pissed off. We're out of the cup and vented their anger immediately of why we're not doing anything. We've got a lot of injuries. We've been extremely unlucky. And aren't I do? I know you're going to say I don't believe you. I think we are finding it difficult to in the market. And David Moyes said as much today. He was asked, "Do you have the financial backing?" "Yes, I do," he says on his to all reporters, and you can see it. I've put it on Claret Hugh. There's a video on it right now. And then he gets asked, "Are the owners backing you?" And he said, "I find that rather insulting question to the reporter." He said, "Yes, of course they are. They're trying to do everything possible for the good of this club." Now, this is David Moyes, who's got a lot of integrity. He wouldn't be part of this operation owners trying to big them up. If he didn't have money, he's a very cautious man. And he said on the video today in the interview, he said, "I do not want to waste money on time in bringing players that are just going to sit on the bench. If they need to come in, they need to be quality and they need to have an active role between now and the end of the season." You can't go against David Moyes, and I'm not making that up. You can go and read it.
I'm against David Moyes. What I'm saying is that the reason why the people are angry is because, and it does, whether you go, let's not drag up that, and it all stems from everything they said. And as John has said, the people that believed in it now feel they've been tricked and lied to, and they are angry. And whatever way they take their frustration out, That's the way. Now, I don't like mob mentality, and I don't like all that standing around screaming or even questioning or whatever, because it's not nice to see. But do I have sympathy for an 81-year-old and 68-year-old? Not when it's them two. I don't. I feel bad as well for not having that sympathy, because I normally would. But for them two, I don't, because I just look at it and think, well, mate, you were told if you don't deliver, you're going to face the wrath of the fans. And that's, you know,
we've said it before, isn't it? The worst thing they could do is sell up, take us to that place and keep us as the same old West Ham.
I think both of you had to say, I'm not going to say they haven't done any wrong, but I think they're better than the devil, you know. I think we could be a lot worse off under the Icelandics or other people. I know you don't agree.
We could be a lot better off with a better owner.
But until one comes forward, they have
to sell up, because this is a stick they will continually be beaten with.
Yeah, I agree. I understand that. I get that. There's no going back for
the good of the club, because the club is going to be like this for as long as their owners.
Well, do you know what? The Cairns were never liked, but no one could get rid of them for years and years and years.
Football was different back then, Sean.
All right. There wasn't social media. I'm going to read one last thing, right? Just to put a little bit of balance in this. Mitch Burgess, who's a West Ham supporter, posted to Twitter today to David Gold and David Sullivan and Junior and Jack Sullivan, "I will always support our owners." And David Gold replied to him personally, "It takes a lot of courage to support the board during these difficult times. Well done and good luck." And he's right. It's almost, if you want to say something nice about the board, it's the opposite of what you had 5 years ago. You'll be shouted down and be called. If I say something pro-board, like you just said earlier, I'm a lackey. I'm in the pockets of Sullivan.
I said that 5 years
it's
ago.
Almost there is. All right.
I've been saying that almost since I realised you were.
It's almost like it's a crime to be pro-board now. In other words, you have to join in with this mob mentality.
I saw that.
Vein of blood for the board. And I just don't get it.
People got to realise is that there's 52,000 season ticket holders. Yeah. Now, the largest Facebook group, the real West Ham fans, have got 13,000. The board will look at that 13,000 and be worried, but they'll take that out of the 52,000, and they'll probably look and go, well, there's 37,000 that ain't in that group. And they'll think, well...
I'm not sure if that's meaningless.
No, because
they'll
rely on the silent majority. Right.
But as I said before, Clarence Hugh has 70,000 registered users, and it means absolutely nothing, because I don't know whether those people go to the games. I don't know whether they... read the website anymore. All I know is they registered with Clarence Hugh, right? That's all I know. What does it mean? It's just a number. It doesn't mean anything. The real challenge comes when the process comes. When the process comes, who joins in? That's what will speak the numbers when the protests come. And whether it's real West Ham fans or whether it's another group or whatever, I think that day will come against the board, and we will see signs and protests, etc. And we will see how they handle it when that day comes.
Yeah, it's coming. You can see it, but
I don't disagree. Anyway, let's move on. The tide has definitely turned against the board, and I'm sure they're completely aware of it. Let's do a transfer update, because this is our last podcast before the transfer window on Wednesday. Unless you're planning to have a transfer special on Wednesday, boys.
You could do a monologue. So. We'll let you. I'm sure you could talk for half hour on your own.
I'm sure you can find someone to chat to, Sean.
So Sacco's gone. About 10 million euros is what they say in France. but most of it.
That sounds even better, doesn't it? If you say it.
10
like,
million euros. 5 million euros up front, which is about 4.4 million, which is less than we paid for him. We paid 3.5 million for him to Metz, and then another million on top with add-ons, and then another 5 million euros on add-ons. But I've got to be honest, that's on goals, that's on appearances. qualifications, Champions League.
European game.
So we're not going to see the whole €10 million, which is about 8.8 million.
They gave him back to someone for nothing, didn't they, basically?
Well, we got him. We got roughly, what I get told is, we got back what we paid for him. So all in all, we probably get about 5 million. We paid 5 million quid from him in total. We get back 5 million quid, roughly. So it's break even, which is why it was an undisclosed fee. You'll be aware that as Cox printed some communications with him where he's saying he would do an interview to reveal what was, you know, maybe what went on between him and David Sullivan and the board. I got told, I mean, they were praying, and I said this before, that he passed the medical. So I'm really pleased he passed the medical because, you know, medical advice was he's still got a long-term back problem. We can say it now because he's gone. But there was a concern that will break down again. He didn't want to play. The manager didn't want him in the team, I got told. I wasn't going to say that while he's for sale. The manager thought it was a bad apple, a bad influence. He didn't want to play. He was unofficially on strike, allegedly feigning injury. We took what we could for him. Do you blame the ball for that, Nigel?
No. The only thing I want to know is whether we will ever find out the truth is, did he refuse to play and did he really feign injury? Because if that's the case, then I don't care what he's got to say. Piss off, mate. Because as I always say, you don't play for the owners. You don't play for the manager. You play for the club and you play for the fans. So that's, you should. Now, the only thing I'd caveat that is he always seemed to come on and play well. It didn't seem to Dan tools on the pitch. The worst thing about it is, if you look this season, he was probably our most liveliest striker. And he didn't really play that much. Says a lot about the others.
Yep. So, I mean, people are saying who's going to replace him. We're talking about inbound in a minute. But at the end of the day, he hasn't played, has he? Would you miss someone who hasn't played?
No. Well, you will do when you've got no Lanzini, no Arnautovic.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I agree. Now, all of a sudden, we do look really short. And would we have got more from him in the summer when he did his walkabout? You know,
the strange thing to me is, and I asked the senior source, I thought he only had 5 months left on his contract, Sacco. But I got told, actually, he'd signed a new contract, which he had 3 years, with an option for another two, which did surprise me somewhat.
But what was all that about on the last day? Why did they make him come back? Weren't they at Rennes having a...
Yeah,
he was. And there's something suspicious about that.
I mean, he won a bit of money going horse racing, I suppose. So we've done all right, Sacco.
Anyway, Sacco's gone. You know, no point in talking about it again. Good luck to him and everything. But do you know what? And I can't say it because libel laws and everything. There's a particular reason he moved, right? Which may or may not come out one day. I wish I could write it. I wish I could say it on the podcast. But I can't.
Oh, thanks for telling us that then.
But again, that's a very singular, one-sided point of view that you get, and you get in your head.
I got the same story from a number of people, both senior sources and agents, saying there is one particular thing that drives him.
Yeah, money.
It's around money. Anyway, AU.
AU.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah.
AU is possibly going to leave before Wednesday. And he's another one where I'm told that this guy is probably feigning injury, mystery injury. We know there's interest from Swansea, who just won a loan. And they're like, hang on a minute. He played for you. Like, you don't know what he's like. Or maybe Marseille. David Moyes said today in his interview, is there going to be any other outbound players? He said, possibly. But, you know, and sort of hinted that the offers would have to increase, which everyone sort of jumped on them to mean Swansea. But I'm not sure I want a player that feigns injury or doesn't want to play for us. He's trying to engineer a move out of the club. What's your position on AU, John?
If that's the truth, then get rid of him. But, I mean, the way we are at the moment, he comes on and does a job and he nicks the odd goal. So I don't think we could really afford, unless we replace him, to get rid of him. And again, he's another one who's come in. He was our top like £20 million purchase and has never really had a run in the team, has he?
Yeah. Nope.
So it's just these players, he must come to West Ham thinking, right, this is my big move. If I do really well here, I could go up the top six. I did get a run in here, show what I can do, and then he never gets played. It's like,
yeah.
I don't know what happens to him. They sort of come here, and no one ever comes here and gets better, do they? All sitting to go backwards.
No. Next is Hart and Hernandez. Both been told you can't move this January. Hart wanted to maybe do it.
That's a bit of a Hart, isn't it?
Well, you know, a loan's a loan, you know, and we might need cover. Why should they let him go?
Because he ain't going to make the World Cup squad.
They've got to think about this from a, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of money, by the way, he's getting sitting on the bench.
Yeah, exactly.
Highest paid player.
Exactly. He's another one that they got him on loan, no option to buy, an absolute waste of money. Get rid of him and go and just spend some of that money.
Well, he's been told, and I've got it on very good authority, he's been told he can't.
He's our cup goalkeeper with no cup to play in.
Yeah, true. Hernandez, who we talked earlier, who's not playing like he's enjoying himself, also been told not to leave. I'm told that we are looking for a striker, but Moyes prefers a big lump. He wants a big fella up front. That ain't going to be Hernandez, and so it sort of rules out any of the names we linked with that are not big fellas, is what I've been told. Which brings me on to Martinez, who will be sent out on loan to Dundee United or a Championship club for the rest of the season. Right move, wrong move? Has he had a chance to prove himself?
Yeah, all of them. Send them all out.
Yeah, I think they've got to go to something better than League One. We've seen that Burke and Cullen and Martinez can do well in those leagues. To prove that they're worthy of a chance, they've got to go to the Championship and do it there. And then the gradual step up. Martinez, he's still young enough. Burke and Cullen, actually, are probably at a crossroads in their career because I think they're like 22, 23. And they need to be, if they want to be professional footballers playing first team games, they've got a choice to make.
Well, they're probably going to go back to Bolton, but Moy said today that he's going
to
make it.
To be fair to them, they can only go and play for Bolton.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's going to make a late decision, maybe even on transfer deadline day, whether he needs them in the squad or not. So he's going to make a decision on transfer deadline day, whether they can go back to Bolton, which leaves Rhys Oxford, who almost certainly looks like, again, unless we need cover, we'll go back to Germany.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So they're the outbound. Let's talk about inbound. Obviously, we signed a player, Mario. Do you want to try and pronounce his first name? Juji?
Joe.
Joe Mario. As we already revealed, a young Mr. Sullivan revealed £2 million loan fee, £2 million in wages. No option to buy, I'm told by a senior source, despite people may say, no option to buy. Now, I know you've got strong views on this. That there's no point in taking a loan unless there's an option to buy, John.
Yeah, I just say it's absolutely pointless. Why would you do it? It's just such short-termism. It's just, yeah, I just think it's a waste of time and money.
Yeah.
Personally.
Okay. Is he a good enough player, Nigel?
Don't really know much about him, to be fair. I can't say he's... I watched, obviously, when Portugal won the Euros. Can't say he stood out that I thought, oh, yeah, he looks someone. Inter Milan paid a lot of money for him, and that's probably why there's no option to buy, because they want a lot of money back that we ain't ever going to pay. So, therefore, you do have to look down and think, as good as a player he is, and we've got him for 6 months, what if he is really good? What are we going to do? Because we know we ain't going to pay 40-odd million for him. So
that's going to be a problem for them, yeah, as well, isn't it? If he comes in, does really well for 6 months, and then we get to the end of the season and then off he goes, or we've got to pay the 45 mil that they paid.
So lose-lose for us. And that's the thing, because if he's really good, we only get him for 6 months and then we ain't going to have the money to buy him. Or if he's rubbish, we played him for 6 months and had to put up with his shit.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We need him. We're going to see whether he works or not, because we've got now already plays. I'm going to quickly go through the other rumours. New name today, Ryan Fredericks. I'm told that we're definitely interested in him. He's a Fulham right back, 25 years old.
He's out of contract, isn't he, at the end of the season?
Well, he is, but Fulham say they've got an automatic option for 12 months that they are going to invoke. So he's actually got 18 months left on his contract. But we're going to try and... we're going to try and snatch him now. Quite a few other clubs are interested. Pele, former Southampton striker. Rumours that we wanted him to join. They are true. We did inquire about him, but I'm told he doesn't want to drop his wages. He's on 250 grand a week and he wants the same at West Ham. So that was applied.
We couldn't even get the real Pele at 75 or however old he is. It's a duck. Yeah.
Tom Carney from Fulham. Fulham don't want to sell. We put in a bid for 15, turned down. Another bid for 18, turned down. I'm told we'll go to 20 million, but no more. They slapped on a valuation of 40 million. Allegedly, they would deal at 30 million, but I don't think we're ever going to get there. I don't think we're going to pay 30 million. I'm not sure he's worth 30 million. Is he worth 30 million?
I don't know nothing about him. But again, what all they're doing now is unsettling a player in a... you know, promotion.
He wants to come. His girlfriend posted on.
Yeah, I know. I see it. But
he started following Mark Noble, and well, we'll see.
What happened? What was that other player from Brentford? Or was it last season?
Though? Scott Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did the same Scott thing Hogan. Again. It's just. Oh, I don't know. It just does my head in.
Right, next one. Morgan Schneiderlin, 20 million. Again, I'm told this one has some legs. Obviously linked at the beginning of the season. Latest interest now that we've lost all the players and Sacco's gone. Worth 20 million, John?
The Morgan Schneiderlin that went at Man United is the one that left him. I haven't really taken much notice of him. So possibly, Sean, possibly.
John Joe Shelby, I think we've covered, which is, you know, despite the rumours and strange rumours that, you know, his representatives and people, because, you know, he's a Romford boy, have met with a West Ham. Everything I hear from sources, so no way. We're not interested in him. And that seems to be, we seem to have that confirmed if Mr. Sullivan was correctly quoted in the car park. And finally, and I don't know if I'll pronounce this, Fedor Smolov. Is that how you pronounce his name? The Russian captain?
Yeah, you better hope your internet stuttered there. You might have got it right.
Yeah, we'll go with that, Sean, because no one really knows.
So we asked today a senior source and said, no, it's, you know, he was the other guy really being rumoured. There's talks ongoing. And I got an interesting answer back. And the answer was, like 99% of players that we're in for, they either don't want to come to us or they can't make up their minds. I'll just say that again. Like 99% of players we're in for, They either don't want to come to us or they can't make up their minds.
Dear.
I saved the best for last, guys. That doesn't sound very promising, does it?
That's a great quote.
You want to go? I can't make my mind up.
Oh, see, well, you know what really he's saying is we're waiting to see if anything better comes along than West Ham.
It's just, they need someone in charge, don't they, who can run a transfer policy, establish a transfer policy and run it properly.
Yeah, they need a director of football. They need a new director.
In charge who can do this stuff, because these lot... Right.
I've got one last stat for you. Give me 2 minutes here, because this was on the American podcast, the West Ham American podcast. This boy obviously ain't got a lot of time. Has got a lot of time. His end.
Who nicked one of our listeners? Yeah, who nicked one of our listeners? Yeah. David Halsey.
Get back down the way.
As we've gone back down to wait because he's defected and gone to the American podcast. And now sending love tweets to ex-West Ham employees.
Anyway, this lad obviously has got a lot of time on his hands because he did name drop our podcast, though, we were banging on about don't buy in January. So he thought it was a bit strange. So he went and analysed every January signing under Golden Sullivan. And he analysed the lot and he worked out how many... For every signing, what's the average games played of a player for the club?
I don't know.
So if you look at all the January signings, add up all the games that they've played in the first team, and they only average 10 games per player.
Yeah.
Therefore, I thought, well, it's sort of reinforced, because I think he set out to try and prove what we said wrong, and actually he ended up agreeing with us and proving us right that you're better off not buying in January.
But again, it depends who you buy, doesn't it? It depends what homework you do beforehand. Are we all preparation, your organisation?
We're shopping in Aldi's and Lidl's, aren't we, you know?
Anyway, I'm conscious of time, so we're going to move on. Injury update. Obiang, we're told, is basically facing the rest of the season out. He's had a scan. It looks like his LCL, which I wrote this morning, Clarence Hugh, they're going to do, when his swelling goes down later on this week, they're going to do another scan, but it looks like he needs an operation. Either way, he's going to have a knee brace, and it's unlikely he's going to play any part of this season again, which I think is a loss. Antonio Noble, Rice, Reed and Chiarty should all return, maybe most of them even for tomorrow for Palace. Carroll, as we know, is till April, but I wouldn't be surprised if we lose him for the rest of the season. Anatovic, late February, is due, because he has got those 6 weeks out with his hamstring. Lanzini's due back in March, and Fernandes is due back in May, maybe not at all. So we are starting to, and as we said, AU feigning injury anyway, we are starting to turn a corner with some of these injuries. And as John said earlier, possibly some of them were rested and called injuries with little knocks, etc., for the Wigan game, just to save some face.
Yeah, well, at least we'd better put a team out tomorrow night.
But January is, I mean, we're really missing Antonio, so I'm really pleased Antonio's going to be back. And I think Rice can still
a lot of them ain't going to be match fit, though, are they? That's the problem, because they've missed a lot of games.
Well, that's going to be the problem. Maybe they put all of them on and sort of rotate them. Right, let's move on to the London Stadium bit. So Nigel sent me a piece on a Facebook from a steward, former steward, Boleyn steward, to say that Palace game tomorrow on Tuesday, OCS, the stewarding company, had been sat on the 28th of January, and that all the stewards would basically be new and it would be chaos and etc. And I was quite alarmed by this story, as I think many people were. So I decided, I've been speaking to the club on and off today, to some directors and the chief operating officer there. And the real truth, just Nigel and anyone else has read it, is OCS only had 20% left of the stewards. So they lost their contract for 24-hour security to look after the stadium on the non-match days, and that was the contract they want. They only had 20% left of the actual stewards in the stadium. So the search and outside, it was done by another company, I think they're called Expedia, and the each stand, four stands, are run by a separate company. And OCS had one of those, so only 20%. All stewards, all OCS stewards have been offered to register with all the other agencies. Only a very small percentage haven't registered. So what I was told is, this has obviously been written by a disgruntled steward. And in reality, the people you'll see on Tuesday night should be the same people you've seen, because OCS only handled 20%. And most, 90% of those have re-registered with the other companies. So maybe it was a bit of a non-story, but thanks for, if people have read it, that's the truth of it, whether you believe it or not. That's what London Stadium have
So basically, the stewarding, a lot of people complained about and thought was rubbish. So they've sacked the company, but re-hired all the rubbish stewards that people were complaining about.
Yeah. You could put it like that. Well, maybe they took a good one, left the rubbish one. You always find something negative. I suppose that's the fault. I suppose that's the fault of the board as well. Yeah.
Well, no, that's the stadium operator, isn't it? I just find it funny that the way you try and spin a story is great. I'll give you credit, Sean. You do really put work and effort into it, but it can just be ripped apart as easy as that.
Anyway, it's time for this. So it's Facebook, Twitter, question time. Nick Harvey says, where do I start? Oh, before I start, I said podcasting tonight at 7:30. Send in your questions, statements of fact or general rants before then. Hot topics include the Wigan game, the owner's car park encounter, Saka going, Mario coming, and the latest transfer rumours and news. Nick Harvey said, where do I start? Another cup game not taken seriously. Car park. What do they expect? Sullivan saying Shelby is shit. Respect is two-way. Sullivan shows no respect to anyone, so it's not surprising he gets a hard time. Until the board are open, honest and transparent with the fans, they never take a step towards getting their trust and respect of the majority of fans. Sacco, good riddance. He's taken the piss with refusing to play and feigning injuries way too often. Sullivan, will this guy ever keep his mouth shut? His policy of spend as little as possible loans is backfiring once again. As many predicted, injuries to Arnautovic and Lanzini, and we're heading back to the bottom three very quickly. Brady, love the hypocritical Baroness's column this week, criticising Phil Neville for his tweets, but happy to point David might get a slap Moyes, not to mention all her wealth coming from working for the Pawn Barons. This can't go on. The circus is out of control. Ringmaster Sullivan and the rest of the clowns need to go. Nick Harvey, you sure that's not you, Nigel, writing that? That's a pseudonym.
That's good, that piece about Brady. You forgot about putting that on there. That's true, isn't it? She come out in her column that she's not going to be doing anymore, but she still does, that, you know, slagging off the old sexist of Phil Neville when she pointed more.
Nice one, Nick. Well done.
Yeah. Anyway, Paul Sanders says, question, what's hotter? Ribman's painted in pork sauce at the centre of the sun? I'll say that again. What's hotter, Ribman's painting in pork sauce or the centre of the sun? I certainly recommend it to banish the cold in the Thunderdome. I don't know.
I don't eat ribs, so I've never really can't say.
I think, if I'm being just completely straight and serious, the centre of the sun would be hotter.
I don't read the sun either.
Wouldn't it?
So.
No.
There's the gut section, isn't it, as well?
Yeah. Jack Ahern says, with no Lanzini, Arnautovic, Carroll, Antonio, to name a few, where is our next goal going to come from? John?
Mark Noble penalty.
Yeah, that could be right. Sergey Novish, and I keep on saying his name wrong each week, and he thinks it's hilarious. Time for conspiracy theories. Makusaku's red card for spitting, stupidly, or something more interesting. Do you remember his strange handball and penalty versus West Brom some time ago? It's not the first time he's acted weird. Is he trying to suggest that there's some kind of betting scam or something? What's the conspiracy he's trying to say, Nigel?
I don't know, actually. I don't know what he's saying.
I don't get it. Tell us, Sergey, what exactly you're on about. Matthew Kemp... Sergey. Matthew Kemp says, why is it when we sell to overseas clubs, the amount we get is low, i.e. for Gouli, broke even his salary, and Sacco, some cash and the rest played over longer term? Ironically, as soon as we inquire about the player, any player, we're quoted 20 million plus. Equally, can Ren afford to play Sacco more than 30 grand a week? I was thinking this. Can they really pay him what he was earning at West Ham?
Well, if they flog a few more of them like Artburn tablets, perhaps that's how they're going to do it.
Rene.
Hey.
Adam Jackson. Adam Jackson. And I think this is Adam Jackson, formerly of, let's have a look. It's
your mate, isn't it?
Mr. Ferrari man. Clums. Yeah, of the Sir Trevor Brook in Lower.
I'm sorry. No, ooh, did I say
yeah,
that?
A former fan of Clans.
Another one upset. Go on.
Yeah.
He blocked me.
Yeah. Why was the stadium's roof signed off on when it's clearly not fit for purpose? Of course, the stadium is not fit for purpose for football, but it's a whole different ball game. Sorry, this is not the time for poor jokes. He's probably saying because we got wet the other day in the
well,
West.
There's a thing called wind.
Rain doesn't. What I've been told is rain doesn't always. Yeah, rain doesn't always go down vertically. It sometimes blows to the side.
It does. You're just upset because the wind was blowing from a different direction, so it blew it into your face instead of into the east stand where it normally blows.
I bet you never get wet where you are.
I get a dust in the snow, but we never get wet.
No.
But now's not the time for poor jumps.
Ed Hall says, would you rather West Ham be a local club or a global brand? Oh, one for
you
Nigel.
Don't need to ask me that, do you?
All right, for John.
Local club. Go on next.
Global brand. David White says, realistically, who would you love to be holding the shirt by deadline day? John and Nigel.
Messi.
Okay, John.
Go on then. I'll have Bale. Ooh, he looks like he's on his way out.
Right. Billy Hardy, last question on Facebook. What's next for Shedman now he's a TV star?
All right, Bill.
So what is next?
Well, I've got to be a TV star first.
Do you know Billy?
Of course I know Billy.
Do you know who is Billy?
He is someone that I used to take West Ham from a little boy. Yes.
Oh, really? So, all right, while we're talking on this, and we're just going to finish off now, when is your TV appearance,
I don't know,
Nigel?
Sean. I don't know. I'd have to ask my agent, to be fair. Mr. 10%.
Yeah, all right. I'll ring the producer and find out. But since it's supposed to be a preview before Palace, well, I think it's got to be
It could have been today,
before 8.
But I forgot to look. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. It probably was a guy.
Could have been. We've had it. I don't know. But they promised me a copy anyway, so don't worry, people.
We will have it on the Facebook group. So I'm going to quickly look whether there's been any rants on
Twitter.
What they call it? Oh, yeah. Twitter, that's it. Twitter. Or Twatter, as some people call it. They talk amongst yourselves, guys, since I'm doing everything tonight.
Oh, tough times. Predictions for Palace, Nige.
Right, here you are. Robert Jersey says, are we good enough to stay up if Marco and Lanzini are out for the rest of the season?
I think we're going to struggle.
I think we're good enough to stay up.
Okay. Lewis Ernentrout says, how was your birthday celebration, Sean? I only can see a defeat tomorrow, sadly. I really wish we had lost at Shrewsbury, as we've only lost 4 quality players, 2 injuries and suspension with the replay and the game on Saturday. I'm glad we're all out of the cup and was hoping we'd lose. He was hoping we'd lose. My birthday celebrations were fine. And just to say, Nigel actually ventured out of Essex into Surrey.
I nearly drove into the River Thames for my sins. Thanks for that. Well, who puts a river at the end of a car park? That's what I want to know. Bleeding stupid slip road it was.
Well, in Surrey we do, because we've got the River Thames.
Yeah.
And the last one, Sarif the Bastard, another one of our regular 8 listeners, has David Sullivan's lies about the fans attacking him after the Wigan defeat put the final nail in his coffin? Fans wanting him to sell up. Is it the final nail in his coffin, Nigel?
I don't think it is, because I think they're so deluded It's hard to gauge when you deal with social media. It's hard to gauge what the majority of fans feel. As I say, the big swell on Twitter and other places is we want you out. But they'll look at the fact is that's a small bubble compared to the big bubble in the stadium. So until something happens in the stadium and we see how big it is there, I don't think anything will happen.
Yeah.
One last question for you, actually.
Go on.
I've seen a lot of talk on Twitter about they can't sell up for 5 years, and this is because they've got to give a large percentage of what they sell it for back to the government. Is that right?
Yes, yeah. Well, they give about, it depends on how quickly they sell, but basically year one, year two. So we're already in year two. It's about 20%. It's complicated, and I did a blog on this at one point, but basically, depending on the sale price, 800 million, approximately 20% of over 400 million goes to the government.
Right.
So
they paid us at 400 million when we moved, so anything above that, they get 20%.
So they can sell.
They can sell, but they have to give money to the government. Yeah. It's like a windfall.
But what fans have got to realise, those that want them to sell up, and me included, is who's going to buy? Because they're going to want top dollar. Foreigners now, forget about Man City, some shake turning up. They're buying, look at a club like Wolves. Wolves got sold a year ago to, I don't know if it was Russian or Chinese money. They're top of the table now. It's a lot easier for foreigners now to get their money back by buying Championship club, spending 30, 40 million pounds in the Championship, get them in the Premier League, bang, their money's back straight away. And then they can use the Premier League money to try and strengthen the club rather than pay 600 million pounds or whatever they want to buy an established club with a fan base that's frankly at war with itself.
You've asked me, so I'm going to give you how much, because I did an article back in November in 2016. If the club is sold for 125 million or less, no fee is due at all to the government. If it's sold between 125 and 150 million, 7.5 of it goes to the government. If it goes between 150 million and 200 million, it's 10%. And if it goes between 200 and 300, it's 20%. And anything above 300 million, 30% of it. So it has a cumulative effect, yeah, between each of those parts.
For how long?
For example, for the first 5 years, and then there's another 5 years. So if it was sold for £1 billion, yeah, in the next 5 years, they would have to give 237 million to the government. So roughly about just under 25%. So that's the way it works. And then another 5 years after that, then it tails away less. That's the reality of it. They would have to give about 25% away if they sell in the next 4 years.
I mean, the government have done us no favours there. They've done that to protect the people buying the thing. But it is because it turns out that we're stuck with them. And we're tearing ourselves apart. And people are going to try now and force them out. But if we try and force them out, who's going to take their place? And then what?
Well, Karen, look, at the end of the day,
I could argue
Karen
against
Brady,
myself here.
On our own website, Karen Brady has valued the club at 800 million on our own website. So if it's sold for that, even paying the 30% I've just talked about
profit.
Maximum,
yeah,
they're still quids in. They still make a handsome profit.
But they ain't going to get that much. That's what I'm saying, because a Chinaman can turn up and go and buy a club in the Championship for 30, 40 million, stick another 30 million, he's got them in the Premier League, and he's guaranteed 150 million if they finish bottom.
But the best thing I think we can hope for is for them to step back and get a new face, new board of control and such.
Get a new board in.
Get Brady completely gone. Get new face, a new director of football, someone who can organise and run a transfer policy and just let them step back.
But if you think about it, we don't need their money. Budgets. A football club in the Premier League can generate enough money to actually be self-sufficient. They don't put money into the club anymore. Yeah. We don't need their money. No, not so anymore. We don't need their money. So actually, they could just sit back, shut up, be quiet, and get a professional board in and just be the shareholders. But their egos won't allow it.
Yeah. I'm put a fan on the board. I'm just going to say, if the club was sold for 800 million, which I said, Brady, before August 2022, they would pay the government 207 million back in a windfall tax. After August 2022 and before August 2027, this would reduce to 135 million on an 800 million pound sale. After August 2027, the government get nothing. So if they don't want to pay any windfall tax at all, they're free to do so after August 2027. Put that in your diary, Nigel. If they're still alive. Anyway, we've overrun quite a bit. Let's talk about predictions for Palace.
Yeah,
have we got two games?
Brighton on Saturday.
Yeah. So let's start with you, John. Palace and Brighton.
I think we're going to get done by Palace tomorrow.
Oof.
And I would say 1-0, painful watch. And I think we'll get a draw at Brighton.
West Ham 1, Stripey Nigel's 1. And then Tesco Bags 2, West Ham 0.
Okay, so it's left to me, and I'm not allowed to pick the same ones. So I'm going to go 2-0 against Palace. I don't know where the goals are going to come from, but 2-0. Antonio is where they're going to come from. And I'm going to go for a 1-0 win against Brighton at the Seaside. So there you go. A full 6 points from two games, because I hate betting against or predicting against my team. And 1 hour 9, I think we've said enough. So I think it's goodbye. Time for goodbye.
Bye.
Come on, you Irons! Oh, I did say, it's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from John.
Yeah, me.
Goodbye. And goodbye from Shedman. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.